Okay. You know, I've heard it said, when the cat is gone, the mice will play, and here we are. We're having a good time. So I wasn't nervous until Brother David marched up here and moved that microphone. I didn't know what was about to happen. Me and Richie made eye contact, and we thought the same thing. He's about to get somebody. So glad he didn't. It was just a microphone because I was in, you know, range right there. So a couple things. I hope this series, hope Wednesday nights this summer have been a blessing to you. I was talking to Elliot before service, and we were talking about, just because I think he's preaching here coming up soon, and we were talking about preaching, and I said, man, this Wednesday sermons have been very, very different style of preaching for me personally. And he went, yeah, they are. And I was like, I know. And in the youth department, I would just walk through a book verse by verse. And so doing more of a topical type of sermon series is, I'm not going to lie to you, it's been a little bit more difficult for me because it's just not my preference, maybe not the type that I would choose, but it's been good for me. I hope it's been a help to you. I really, truly do. Last week, we went and we talked about how to connect with a missionary, right? That was last week. So this week's going to be part two. We didn't finish it up. So part one was last week. This is part two. But if you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 15, we'll read from this text tonight. And so 1 Samuel 15, after we read, I'm going to do a quick review for those that weren't maybe here last Wednesday, talk about a little bit what we talked about last week, and then we'll get into a little bit more of part two, and then we'll cover how 1 Samuel 15 relates to what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's stand in honor and respect to God's word, 1 Samuel 15. Also, don't you love when Brother Trevor gets up here? I mean, he's just so smiley. I wish I could do that. I mean, I remember looking back on live stream, and I'm like singing a special, or I'm leading songs. I look like a grumpy old guy up here, like, you know, sing out, you know, and Trevor's up here smiling, just so natural. And then he tells a story like that, and I mean, that was awesome. I don't know where he got it, but it was great. I loved it. If you're mad about it, blame me, okay? So 1 Samuel 15, verse number 10. Read along with me as I read out loud, okay? It says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them. Notice this. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, mind you, in Gilgal. I added the mind you. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And then we could go on, but it tells of Saul begging Samuel to allow him to worship the Lord. and to, because he got caught, not endure the consequences. But Samuel says that God has already spoken. Samuel turns away. Saul grabs his mantle and rips it. And Samuel turns around and instantly uses it as an illustration and says, this is what God has done to the kingdom from your hand. He has tore it from your hands. Now, before we get into this, I've told you this over and over and over again. This sermon series is lessons learned on deputation and how to help Bethany Baptist Church be the best that we can, okay? And so, we're going to move on. But to say this is that I think Bethany Baptist Church is the best sending church ever, in my opinion. My wife is wholeheartedly agreeing back there. And so, but I've said this over and over and over again, there's always room to fine-tune even the things you're great at. And so tonight, that's what we're going to try to do. Last week, I'm going to review a little bit after I pray, and then we'll get into a little bit of new stuff and then relate 1 Samuel at the very end, okay? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're thankful for how you work and show yourself evident. God, I ask that you bless this time, and Lord, use this for your will to be accomplished through Bethany Baptist Church, not only as a church corporately, but also as individuals. God, we're thankful that we can be here and sing to you and pray and give. But God, we also want to hear from you. We're asking that you speak tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So last week I told you that one of the things that I'm going to miss most about West Texas is what? Steak and? Okay, barbecue. Okay, yes, steak and barbecue. Did someone say me? Did someone say that? If you did, it's probably not you. Anyway, so just kidding. Sorry. My youth pastor came out. So I told you I was going to miss steak and barbecue. Now, barbecue, because I said West Texas barbecue, and Texas barbecue is the best barbecue in the world. It's the absolute best. I've had Kansas City one, and remember, they emphasize way too much of the sauce. And in Texas, the star of the show at all times is what? The meat, right? And now barbecue is cooked how? Low and slow. Low and slow. Now, I told you that there's great benefits and great flavor from low and slow cooked barbecue, but there's another way to cook a steak, and it's fast. It's pan-seared. You heat up the pan, you throw it on, turn it over, and you get the again. And then, pan-seared steak. Great benefit and great flavor from both. And from that illustration, we talked about how missionaries on deputation or on furlough are going to churches, whether they're reporting or trying to gain support, and they are trying to build relationships and connections in a pan-seared way. That's deputation, that's furlough. But then I also related it to our time on staff at Bethany and how the relationships formed and forged here in this room were like barbecue, low and slow. There was no rush to learn each other in a deep, deep, meaningful way in one service. We were planning to be here for the rest of our lives, and so we contrasted the two, and we compared the two. We had the low and slow of Bethany Baptist Church in our time, and then we had the deputation, furlough, pan-seared. We got to get this thing done quick. But there's benefit to both. And so then we got into the text about how Paul had connected with many different churches throughout his ministry, and then we got into application. And so we see that just a few things, okay, from part one of this sermon was this. I'm going to go back, and I think I brought my notes, and if I didn't, this is going to be a really fun night. Here we go. Here we go. I found it. So the practical ways to have a pan-seared relationship with a missionary was this. Give them your attention while they're here. Don't think that they don't want to talk to you or you're going to waste their time. Go talk to them. Point two was don't monopolize their time. And if you're having a great conversation, include others into the conversation. If I need to pull Brother David up here, he would love for me to do that. We can show you if okay, we won't. And so then the next point was, you know your church family, and if the missionary is stuck at the table, help him out. Go over there and say, hey, so-and-so, and then help the missionary out because the missionary is going to be nice and smile. Well, if it was me, sometimes I wasn't, but my wife was a wonderful, nice lady, and she stood there for a long time and talked to people. Okay, next point. And then we talked about asking good, meaty questions, not just what language do they speak in England, not just what food do they eat, but asking, okay, get a little bit deeper than those surface level questions. And then the next one was ask for prayer requests. Now, after they give you their pretty little furlough deputation prayer request list, then ask some more personal ones and getting to a little bit deeper level with them, okay? Everybody caught up from part one? I know what you're thinking. Why didn't you do that last week and we could have got out early? I know what you're thinking. So now we're at the point where we understand that Paul and his relationships with the churches that he was a part of was a very, very deeply rooted one. And we read that through Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, the last chapter there. And we could review all of that, but we understand from last week and the review that we just had that the relationships were largely built around listening. And so now the question is this: what do you do when you feel like you've made a pretty good connection with a missionary? Can I tell you this? First of all, and I didn't include this last week because I didn't have time, was let them be human as well. And I know we want to treat missionaries special. We want them to be people that we look up to and our kids look up to. Absolutely. I don't disagree with that. But also let them talk about the Cowboys and how they're mad about it, okay? I only got to do that a couple times. And so my wife just heard it in the car. Let them talk about the Rangers or tell you about their favorite hobby or whatever it may be. Let them be human because they are. And they probably have hobbies. And if they don't, they're way more spiritual than me, okay? And so, but I do, and I like to be able to talk about normal things. But then this question came to mind was this: what do you do whenever you feel like you've made a good connection? What's the next step? Not just connecting with them. First of all, Pastor always asks us whenever we talk to, when we have missionaries come through, he always tells us, hey, let me know what you think. If we didn't vote during the service like we did for Brother Brewer the other night, go to him and say, hey, made a really good connection with them, really appreciated them. I wouldn't be against getting behind them in missionary support. He always asks for that, whether that's an email or a text or just right after your conversation and he's still in the foyer. He always asks us to do that. And if you can't find him, tell one of the staff members and they'll definitely relay it to him, okay? Now, I know this isn't, I already told you that I'm uncomfortable, but I need some head nods or smiles, okay? We need something, okay? Thank you. So, first, a question that you could ask is how to stay connected with them and their ministry. The first one I would say is always ask them, do you have any social media pages that we can follow? Those are really good ones. I feel like every missionary that I've met that has one of those, they put more, I don't know, it makes you feel more connected to them as a and their ministry as a person rather than just reading a letter, because not all the times letters look as real as maybe a social media post does. And so our church has a social media page, and the reason is because we want people to see the inside of this building. We don't want them just to see the outside and the sign. And so we want them to see, hey, look, we're real people. We're in here. We're shooting confetti cannons and having fun at VBS. I mean, that's what we're doing. And so just ask them, okay, do you have a social media page? Another one could be this: could I be added to your email list for your letters? I've had people do that. I have actually a handful of people, and every time someone asked, I said, let me pull my phone out and I'll add you right now, because I didn't want to forget. And so I'd pull my phone out, I'd add them to our list, or I'd text it to Callie and she'd say, hey, why is it, who's this email? And I'd tell her, and then we'd add them later on. You could always ask that. Here's another one: reach out to them occasionally about something that they posted on their page, something they wrote in a letter. Reach out to them directly to ask about how to pray for them. Now, just a few things that I've learned from personal experience. When you reach out to a missionary 4, 5, 6 months later, make sure they know who you are. I've gotten text, hey, Brother Colin, I read your letter and I wanted to say this and then ask a question. And I'm not going to lie to you, it happened so often that whenever people started to want our email or want my cell phone number, this is what I would do. I would put in the notes of that contact who they were, where they were from, and the conversation we had. Because if Brother David was reaching out to me and he's like, hey, Brother Colin, so glad that, you know, this is happening, this is the way he should have started that text or email. Hey, Brother Colin, this is David Wood from Bethany Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. It fixes a multitude of problems. And you would, and I know that sounds so simple, but honestly, they don't know who you are. I don't know who some of you are. I'm just saying. I mean, I've been gone for 2 years, and I'm like, they're here every week. I need to catch their name. I mean, I'm not going to point it out, but yeah, there's some of you out there, and it's okay. And so just start a text or start an email. Hey, this is your name. I'm from this church in this town. Now, you say, well, there's not a lot of Bethany Baptist churches, but there's more than one. And so if you don't throw Lubbock, Texas out there, they're going to be like, which Bethany? You know what I mean? Okay, that one was simple. Okay, here we go. We'll keep going here. And it's always nice to receive a text or an email. And this sounds maybe a little bit selfish, and you can judge me. It's cool. But that doesn't require a response immediately. Okay? And so if you say, hey, we're praying for you, when you have time, let us know how we can be praying for you specifically. I mean, that is just so helpful, because then I can mark it as unread, and 2 or 3 days later, I'm going to answer it. And so always just preface it with who you are, where you're from, what church, and then just try to help them out by not warranting a response, especially if they're on deputation. I mean, I tried to be as organized as possible, but there were times where I would sit down and I would have 40 to 50 emails that I needed to catch up on, and half of them were packets for a missions conference coming up, which is not a bad thing. It's just the nature of the road and the nature of getting ready for the next church and the next place you're going to be. Okay, we're going to keep going here, okay? When we do mission updates on Wednesdays, the letter that is read or highlighted, because sometimes there's multiple, is always posted at the bottom of our digital bulletin. If you click on that and you look at the letter, 9 times out of 10, that letter is going to have an email that you can reach out to. And I'm telling you this because we did a mission update on one of the missionaries or a church planner that here at Bethany. And when we got our digital email on the bulletin on the road, we looked at it, we clicked on the letter, we read it, and we were like, oh, cool, let's shoot him a text. And so on Sunday morning, my wife shot the wife of this church planner a text and said, hey, you're our missionary for this week at Bethany. I just wanted to let you know that we're praying for you and our church family's praying for you. This was her response. She said this: no one's ever told us that. That's so encouraging. I've never had someone reach out to me on a Sunday morning. Now, these church planners are pretty popular people. I think they're pretty cool. And that the fact that no one had ever reached out to the wife or them, it just shows that even if you think a text is the most simple thing you could do, it means a whole lot. Or an email. If you send it on Saturday night, because I know me, Saturday night I go to bed, Sunday morning I read, I pray, and then I'm checking emails. That's just what I do. And so if someone's scrolling through an email and they have 20 from Bethany Baptist Church because they say, hi, this is David Wood from Bethany Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. You're our missionary of the week. We just want to let you know we're praying for you today. I mean, that would just mean a whole lot. It really would. And I know it sounds simple, but that's another way that Bethany Baptist Church can be even better than what we have been at sending and supporting missionaries. Now, we're rolling here, okay? We're going fast, I promise. It may not feel that way, but we are. And so, here we go. You ready? It may not seem like a big deal, like I said, about the text or anything, but it really is. And let me just share just a personal story. So there's a couple named Jacob and Rebecca Yon. You may never meet them until the other side of heaven, but they took us out for a meal on a Saturday evening. We had a great time with them, got talking with them. And then Sunday came along, and we just it was a pan-seared relationship. It really was. And we've talked with them. He and I talked about audiobooks because I really like audiobooks. And he was driving a truck for a long time, so he had a ton that I'd never listened to. And so we just really hit it off. He and my wife did as well. And so we were talking, and then on Sunday, we were talking with them again, and they were at the table, but they did this whole, you know, let's gather a group to talk to these people. And so we're talking to them, but also 10, 15 other people. And we're just having a great time with them. But what I want to tell you about them is this, is that every single Sunday, she reaches out to Callie. Every Sunday. That's a blessing. Because if you have Sunday mornings like we do, they're not always easy. Anybody? Okay, just us? Okay. No, they're not always easy. Saturday nights, for some reason, our heathen children don't want to sleep. And so then we don't sleep on Saturday night. And then on Sunday morning, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm short-tempered, I'm impatient, I'm a really bad dad. Here I am. And so when we get a text from someone who says, hey, we're praying for you, hope your day goes well, that's a blessing. Rebecca reaches out to Callie all the time. Jacob reaches out to me quite often when my, and you know, we had been talking about, because Rebecca's dad had passed away recently, and then my dad had passed away recently when we were there. And we just connected on that level, and we had a day come up, whether it was a birthday or something, but Jacob knew about it somehow, and he texted me and he said, hey, I know the first after a death is hard. And he just reached out and texted me that. And so what I took from that is this, that I don't know if they volunteer, I don't know if they have a system, but it's like they adopted us as their missionary family from their church. And I'm not saying that like it needs to be an official ministry of our church. I'm not saying it needs to be an official, this is my missionary, and you stake your claim and throw the flag in the ground or anything. But I think it would be great if you just said, okay, we're just going to know their birthdays. We're going to know them. We're going to stay connected with them. And we're just going to try to love on them and be an encouragement. Don't overwhelm them. Don't monopolize. That is point, okay? That is a point, for real. But just reach out to them on a regular basis. And whether it's a family that you've been connected with in the past or whether it's a family that comes through and you just connect with them in the moment that they're here, it's just, it means the world, I promise, to them to have someone connected to them. All right, here's another one. There's a lady named Jo Acuff. Miss Jo writes in cursive. And when you have the paper in your hand, it's a lot easier to read. But when Abby sends you a picture of it, there are times that it's hard to read. But you know what? Miss Jo is probably 85 or something. She writes Callie a letter every week, maybe every other week. And Callie has written her back because obviously she doesn't text or email, but she writes letters. And so she's wrote a letter to Callie every other week for a long time. And it's just been a blessing. She's just a blessing to us. She tells us about her church and what they're doing, and they bought property, they're building a building, and we know all these things about their church family. And can I tell you what that does? That makes us want to go back because we want to go see the new building, and we want to see their new parking lot, and we want to go see the people she's talked about because it keeps us connected to them. All right, we're going to keep going here, okay? And then for our kids, there's a Sunday school class that our kids maybe went to once. And they send them a letter probably every other week. I mean, every other month. They just send a letter to our kids. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I loved getting mail. And I don't know about your kids, but my kids love getting mail. I mean, when I'm going through the mail, they're like, is any of that for me? I hand them the ads. I'm like, here you go. And they love it. They really do. And so If you're a Sunday school teacher for maybe 3, 4, 5 year olds, primary church, junior church, whatever it is, if you have a kid that's visiting with a missionary family, why not take their name down, ask their parents, or get it off their prayer card, and write them a card from your class? You think it's just something small and silly like that, but it means the absolute world, not only to the kids, but also to the parents. All right. I told you about some of the guys that email and text me on a regular basis, and they just reach out to something that I put in a letter or something that I alluded to. And you think, well, do I need to tell them that I read their letters? Yeah. There's been times where I send it out and I go, I wonder if anybody's actually reading these. I mean, I've asked the question. And so when we let them know, hi, this is Colin Hendricks from Bethany Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas, I'm emphasizing that point a lot, okay? And you say, hey, I read in your letter recently about so-and-so. Just wanted to let you know I prayed for him this morning. And the fact that someone read the letter, it means a whole lot. Okay, we're going to keep going here. I've said that. We're rolling. Here we go. All right, another way to help a missionary feel connected, and we talked about this a little bit, is just let them be human. And if you know they like the Cowboys, invite them to the Fantasy League. Dustin texted me and invited me to a Fantasy League. I felt so connected to Bethany Baptist Church, you don't even know. And you think, that's silly. I missed out on the last 2 years of Fantasy Leagues, and I came back and visited in December, and all the teams were talking about their fantasy teams, and I was like, you punks! You didn't invite me! I started this. And then I'm like, man. And then Dustin texted me and invited me. I was like, I'm in. I'm back. So, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but I mean it. I seriously do. Just things that are just easy, easy, simple things. And so now let's go to 1 Samuel 15. And this is an intense text. And when you read the Bible has certain tones. And when you read 1 Samuel, and it's the conversation between Saul and Samuel says, I'm going to tell you what God told me last night. And he says, say on. And then he tells Saul, you've disobeyed. Your sin is his witchcraft and idolatry. And it's all these things. And that's an intense text. It's intense. I'm not wanting to use this text as a baseball bat, but I want to use it as an example of Saul's life as a whole. Because Saul failed on a regular basis to take personal responsibility. On a very, very regular basis, failed to take personal responsibility. And he had no personal accountability. And in life, and in the Christian life in particular, we are called as disciples of Jesus to be personally accountable. He doesn't call us to laziness. You read in Proverbs, I went by the field of the slothful, and it was covered in thorns and nettles, and the wall was broken down. They're not highlighting his slothfulness as a good thing. But we also read in the Word of God, not only that laziness is not a positive thing, but a sin, but also we read in Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself. To who? God. And so, yes, we're called as a church family to support and send missionaries. We're called as a local church to reach the uttermost parts of the world. But the way that would be accomplished is by each of us taking personal responsibility. And so whenever I shared part one, and then part 1A, and then part 2 tonight. And I was getting ready. I just thought the only way that these sermons are really going to take and get traction is if we take personal responsibility. And we can say, well, I'll talk to this missionary, talk to that missionary. Yeah, but are you going to ask the meaty questions? Are you going to ask for prayer requests and then go a little bit farther? Because we don't have time for low and slow when they're here for Wednesday night. You got to ask them, what's on your heart? How are your kids doing? How are your grandkids doing? I want to pray for you in a great, deeper way. And then you can say, well, I've connected with them. And then so what you need to do then is what we talked about tonight. Hey, can I follow your social media pages? Can I be added to your email list? Can I reach out on occasion? Is there a way that I can shoot you an email personally? But you have to take personal responsibility for this to be anything more than it already is. And we have a mission support team, and they have most of the information on how to contact every single one of our missionaries. Those are the guys that come up here and they give reports. And then if they don't know, Brother Gerald is the missions czar. I don't know how else to say it. I called myself the missions guy, but I think czar is way cooler. So, but Brother Gerald couldn't be able to find that contact information. And it's been a blessing the last 2 weeks when we did these missions updates, because Brother Brinkley, and then we had Hector Garcia was mentioned, and Rex Harmon was mentioned, and then one other one last week, Brother, was it Lube or Brother Everett that gave that? Probably Brother Everett. But those guys, we've been in missions conferences with all of them, and we'd seen them. Well, we saw Brother Brinkley on the field, and so. But whenever a letter is read and you know the person, it's not just a Wednesday night update anymore, but it's like, oh, that's someone I've been praying for, and you can hear an update. Oh, I want to hear this letter, and you hear, oh, they got a VBS coming up, so let's pray for them. They're in Perth, so right now, yeah, it may be summer, but guess what? It's cold, it's wet, and it's dark. That's where they're at. And if it's not cloudy and making it dark, the sun's up till midnight in Scotland. And so you know You know them, and you know their ministry, and you know their struggles, and you know Danielle Brinkley like we do, and we've got to connect with her, and you know her brother and then her older sisters, and you get to talk with them and connect with them. But why not make it just, like I said, I don't want to use this time to say that we're not good at what we're doing, but let's make sure we don't do this. Well, that's the mission support team, and that's the staff. But let's take personal responsibility, where we say, okay, I'm going to purpose for our next missionary to come through, and I'm going to stand in line, and I'm going to go talk to him, and I'm going to have a conversation. And if their time's being monopolized by the person that I'm thinking of, and I'm going to save them from that conversation, and I'm going to go add onto it. And you think, well, that's going to take work. It is. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're right. But man, the missionary's sitting there relieved that someone actually wants to talk to him. And whenever they're looking for the nursery, when the wife's looking for the nursery, you're going to say, hey, let me take your kid over to the nursery with you. And if it's a Sunday morning, I know it's crazy out here. Let me show you where your kids are going to go, being the Kids for Christ. And then there's Sunday school's in the two-story. And then they have another kids because, you know, missionaries have like 12 or something, 12 or less, right? Right, Malachi? And so then you show them where all their kids are supposed to go across campus. I can't tell you how blessed Callie was when she got to start the service on time because someone showed her around. That sounds wild, I know, and it sounds really simple, but it's details that are simple that can oftentimes fall through the cracks because we can all become this way and say, well, they'll take care of it. And we don't want to be like Saul. Brother David Lube's been going through this 1 and 2 Samuel in Sunday school when he teaches, and I've been reading in 1 and 2 Samuel just how it lined up. And can I tell you this? I read about Saul, and I see myself in him more than I ever would want to. And there's times where I don't want to take personal responsibility. And there's times where I struggle, and I think, well, somebody else will do. I did what I was supposed to do, but no extra. Right? So tonight, and just for future, if Bethany Baptist Church wants to be even better than what they're already great at, can I tell you what we need to do? Take it personally. And I know that's a kind of a cliche thing to say, but honestly, if you just make it a personal thing, when a missionary is here or when a guest is here, I'm going to try to make them feel as welcome as possible. And if a missionary is going to come through and we're going to support them, and if I feel like God's leading me to, I want to try to stay connected with them as much as possible. Can I tell you this? It'll make Bethany Baptist Church even greater than it already is. But we each individually have to take responsibility. Brother Brewer got up here, and the first thing he said was what? We're so thankful to be here. We've actually never been here, but we know a lot about you. I told you, none of you believe me, but I told you, you have a reputation. And it's a reputation of love and hospitality and generosity. You know what that means? You're great at what you do. But there's always room for improvement and fine-tuning. And I think a step in the right direction would be this. If we all just chose individually, this is going to be my responsibility as well. Let's pray, and I hope the Lord spoke to you. Father, I ask that you use this time.